This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Our fragile markets seem as good a place as any to start our regular weekly wrap of Wall Street and beyond on a Friday. Very Wall Street, at least to begin with this week. Heidi Moore from The Guardian and Cardiff Garcia from the blog FT Alphaville are at Marketplace East, otherwise known as our New York City Bureau. Hey, guys.
Hey, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
Heidi, you and I talked about this yesterday, so I will give you first whack at this question. It's a basic one, and here you go. What kind of way is this to run a railroad with the NASDAQ? Come on.
This is no way to run a railroad.
Thank you.
However, there are people who are defending NASDAQ, saying that at least they fixed the problem. I mean, it's running well today. So they may not have communicated well about it, but they did get it fixed.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Cardiff, come on. At least it didn't break today. That's bananas.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is another instance where we see that the way we trade securities now has just become immensely complicated, and how in the last 10 to 15 years, new and better technology, along with all of these participants finding ways to get around new regulations, have found a way to make things really complicated to make a little more money. So it's true. The immediate effect of what happened yesterday was something akin to everybody taking a long lunch, right? And then catching up on their work later.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. But I mean, but it is troublesome that these kinds of things just seem to keep happening. And there's got to be a way to make these systems more robust.
Well, Heidi, what about that? My money is things get worse, not better.
Well, that's generally true just because of the level of complexity. I mean, it's going to happen again. Bob Greifeld, who's the CEO of NASDAQ, gave an interview, and he considered himself happy if they could get above 99% reliability in doing these. I mean, imagine that. He's just conceding. You cannot get 100%, and he's right.
Okay, but let's do the counterfactual here, Cardiff, and then we'll move on.
Sure.
The global economy did not implode. Nobody was, you know, jumping out of windows on Wall Street. I mean, it was a problem. They fixed it, and we all moved on.
That's true. It wasn't that big of a problem this time, but you know, that's sort of like saying, well, you know, just because it didn't sink the ship, you know, in this storm, that's no reason not to patch things up. I mean, you really do want these systems to be a little bit less fragile, and at the very least, as I think your reporter brought up in that segment, you want there to be a plan
B.
You want there to be a backup plan, and you want these companies to be more transparent about what's happening, not just to their biggest clients, but to everybody, to the public at large.
Yeah. Key point, the NASDAQ OMX is a company, and it's got shareholders, and it's, in theory, a viable business. All right, we will move on. We will go now to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, Heidi, where central bankers from pretty much the entire country and parts of the world are gathered. Christine Lagarde, the head of the IMF, said today, listen, it is too soon for central banks to withdraw their unusual support. She's talking, obviously, about quantitative easing here in the States. What do we think central bankers will do? Will they listen to Ms. Lagarde, or will they sort of start pulling the plugs?
Well, they want to start pulling the plugs, but that's going to be difficult because what we've seen is that the markets freak out every time Ben Bernanke even whispers about tapering, which is reducing the level of stimulus. So, you know, maybe they may want to, but really, you know, this whole crisis has made the central bankers into heroes. I don't blame them for wanting to extend it a little bit more.
Cardiff, thoughts on a three-day weekend in Jackson Hole?
Yeah, I mean, there's a real underlying tension here, and Heidi's absolutely right. The problem is that central banks have really been the only game in town the last few years because governments have really fallen down on the job. They haven't been helping out. They haven't been providing the right kind of stimulus. And so what's happened is that central banks have been undertaking all of these what's called unconventional policy.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that these policies do cause distortions and they do cause sort of unintended consequences. And yet they have to keep doing it because if they were to stop doing it, then there would be absolutely no support. So it's unfortunate, but I think they have to keep going.
You know, so Heidi, the Fed minutes came out earlier this week, the Fed minutes from the July meeting, and there was much tea leaf reading and this and that. The markets got a little squidgy, but basically the Fed says, listen, we're going to figure it out when we figure it out. Bear with us. Are the markets ready to hear that answer?
Well, it's a much better answer than they got before because, as I said,
that's right.
You know, if they think their welfare is ending, they start freaking out about where to get more. But, you know, I think the Fed has managed its communication policy by being maybe too open. It's giving the market more information than the market can understand. Yeah. The market can't think 2 years ahead like the Fed can. So when you say we're going to taper in 2 months or 2 years or whatever, the market can't process that. They have the memory of goldfish.
Wow. All right. We got to go. That's what an image to leave on. Heidi Moore from The Guardian, Cardiff Garcia from the blog FT Alphaville. We're out of here. See you guys.
See you, Kai.
Thanks, Kai.
All right. Have a good week.